to Spin is a Four-Letter Word, the Maroon PR podcast. And on this season, we are taking a little bit of a different approach, and we're joining business leaders in the community over a beer. And today, we're happy to welcome Marshall Weston, the president and CEO of the Maryland Restaurant Association, Restaurant Association of Maryland, I should say.
Yep.
And we're going to talk about the industry, talk about Marshall's path through his career, and a little bit about relationships. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for coming to our office. It's good that somebody is actually seeing me do work. My children think that I just read although I'm going to say newspaper all day. That's not what we read anymore. But it's hard for them to understand what we do here in associations. Maybe we'll all learn a little bit today. Yeah. How's about that?
Awesome.
Well, tell us a little bit about that. Tell us how you got into this, and also clearly what you guys do as well.
So it's I took a long road that, like most people, you just don't really pick something when you're young and make it happen. A lot of us just kind of fall into different things. So I am the guy that started working in a restaurant when I was 16 years old, bussing tables. Did that for a while, and the next thing you know, I was like 22 years old, and I was a general manager, in charge, running the whole thing. And I did that for a long time. And then somewhere along the way, I got bored. I don't even understand that now, thinking back. How could I be bored working full-time managing a restaurant? But I needed something else to do. Went back to school and ultimately ended up getting a degree in public policy from Penn State. So ended up moving down here to Maryland and just kind of fell into a job here at the Restaurant Association. Because I had the background that they were looking for. I had all this industry experience. I had a public policy degree. And I started working with our education foundation. And then lo and behold, just like when I became general manager, I just stayed along longer than everybody else. And I became the CEO. Yeah. And I've been doing that for over 10 years now. Clearly, I like what I do because I've been here such a long time. And this is the best of both worlds for me. I get to keep in touch with the industry and do industry type things. But I get to use my policy background and live somewhat of a normal office life, too.
That's great.
Well, I think it's a true testament. I mean, 20 years in an organization in today's world, you don't see that often. For you, what's kept you here? Like, what's kept you in this role?
So, for me, just kind of growing up, coming through the industry and all the different people that you meet, all the different jobs that I did. I'm just a curious person by nature, mm-hmm. and I just like to do different things and stay busy, and restaurants can do that for you. So once I decided to leave restaurants and come here, I realized that I'm not going to be sitting in an office every day. Matter of fact, that's the worst thing I could do, being out and about, talking with restaurateurs, talking with employees. I was able to just, kind of keep in touch with all of that. So it's new and it's different every week. And, the industry has continued to change, so that keeps it exciting as well. So it's it just satisfies my need to keep busy and just do different things. The people are great, too, and that's really the biggest part of it.
It's probably many ways, but how has the industry changed the most in the last, say, 10 years since you took over?
So, I wouldn't even go back 10 years. I would, because of this COVID thing, right? Mm-hmm. I have watched restaurants and people too change completely and how the whole dynamic works. So, if you go way, way back, the idea, 30 years ago of a fast casual restaurant where I got to go to a counter, right. Order my food, take my own food, sit down at a table. And then wait, I got to bust my own table, throw my trash away, and then leave? Like, that was unheard of. But today, I bet you we all do that once a week, mm-hmm. right? Sure. But
probably less than, the sit-down meal experience, true restaurant.
Absolutely. One of the fastest-growing segments in the past, 5 to 10 years would be fast casual. Then we have the COVID experiment where we now have restaurants that 5 years ago, full service, sit down, nobody would even think about getting takeout. And there are, pick your favorite steakhouse, your steakhouse chain, or just sit down mm-hmm. restaurant, whatever it is. now today, I literally go to a breakfast diner and I see people getting takeout for breakfast, and I don't understand it. I'm like, what? I know what I order at this diner. It's a regular greasy spoon, been in the community for a long time, and they're great people, and the staff is great, and it's egg, bacon, toast, and coffee, and there are people getting takeout.
Yeah.
So restaurants had to adapt and change and learn how to do that. Getting, a medium rare steak with the sides to go and being able to take home. Places are able to do that. So, there's been lots of changes, but restaurants at their core, they're entrepreneurs and they give people what they want. Mm-hmm. So they got to be able to adapt, and, that's what makes us great.
Well, you talked about how things have evolved. How has your role evolved as the leader of the organization as far as what you do, your day-to-day, and how you interact with the restaurants and your membership?
Sure. It kind of evolves year by year when I really think about it, because every year is different, and clearly every organization has a story about how COVID changed them. Mm-hmm. But, for us and for me personally, before COVID, 2018, 2019, restaurants were doing well. People were going out to eat a lot, and there was a lot of, growth. And the idea that restaurants needed help, quote unquote help, that wasn't thinking. They wanted ways to do better, to grow, to, all of these different things. And then COVID hit, and all of a sudden, our role here at the association had to completely change. We suddenly had to become the cheerleaders for the 11,000 restaurants here in Maryland. The 200,000 employees that work in restaurants, suddenly nobody was going out to eat. Nobody was, people were kind of willing to do takeout, but they weren't really sure. So I had, we as an organization had to help them through that. And I personally had to become the public face and the cheerleader to the public that went out and said, listen, restaurants are safe. They've done this, this, and this. They have, take out and carry out when maybe you're not used to that. But remember, every time you get takeout from a restaurant that you normally don't do that from, you're helping the business owner stay in business. You're helping these 12 employees get hours and keep working and all of these different things. So that's a role that historically I haven't had to take before. And you gotta be able to jump in and do what's necessary, and that's kind of the biggest dramatic shift. Now here today, it is all about collaboration with the other groups that are out there, mm-hmm. and more so now than ever before, because whether you're businesses or associations, we've got to get back to the idea of working together, where the high tide lifts all boats, and Earlier this afternoon, I was at the Maryland Hotel and Lodging Association's awards luncheon, and proud to support their group and all the employees that work at work in hotels across the state, and hotels and tourism and restaurants. We all, work well together, so we got to continue to do that.
Yeah. Well, we were lucky enough to start working with you, during the pandemic, and
yes,
and you pointed
we were
out
begging for help. And thank you. Yeah. One of several of our members that had done work with Maroon PR in the past, and they recommended we had a call, and it worked out well.
Testament though, because to your point, it was new for everyone, but and you point this out on your LinkedIn page, which I know you're very active on. but you point out that for you to be successful for this, your role as the president, to be successful, you have to have a public relations knack. You kind of have to have that face and knowledge and understanding of the value of public relations. And I think, to the testament to you in that situation where you did bring us on, and it was a lot of messaging, but it was really pushing. You had to be the cheerleader, like you said, and get yourself out there and do. You did every interview we put in front of you, and it worked, right? It worked in that. We got the public to understand we've got to support restaurants. We got the government officials to understand. The governor mm-hmm. was behind you. I mean, it really did. It was one of those campaigns that we can look back on and say, like, that it's truly an important part of the business.
Yeah, we didn't have the infrastructure here to mm-hmm. make all of that happen. Yes, I can be the pretty face, and I can say I understand the message, and fortunately for all of us, I was comfortable in that role, but I needed the logistics behind it to make that happen. And I do remember back that it was constant. You guys had people knocking on our door all the time, wanting interviews, wanting statements. And I had to say yes, because that was my role. Yeah. We had to go overboard to make sure that our message was heard and that, you know, that our employees were able to continue to have jobs and these places stayed open. So it's great.
As a PR firm, I can tell you that it's great for us when our client is excited and anxious to get their message out there. It was kind of a perfect storm in that way, in that we were able to offer up to the media someone who was always going to be there. And it's a testament, too, to what we've said earlier, is that you were there in a tough time, and now we're coming out of this thing, and you're still there in the good times, and that helps. It helps us tell your story later on. Yeah.
But you'd be surprised at clients that do bring on a PR firm and then don't.
Yeah.
I can't do that media interview. Or
I don't understand that.
You know, so all, like, but that's, yeah. It's like a constant challenge. And, yeah. And as a sidebar, I can remember one of the first things we did, and there was a press conference on the Ocean City side over the bridge, right? So mm-hmm. It was on the Eastern Shore. And I remember all of us were like, it was at Friday at 5 o'clock. And we were all like, no one's going to show up to this. Like, what are we doing here, right? And as PR people and whatever. And because the message was so important, yes. And the issue was so important, we had like every media yeah. station from Maryland there on yeah. 5 o'clock on a Friday. So it just
had a couple of DC.
Yeah. So it was just a funny, like, yeah. to think back at like yeah. that, how important and the media was dying to yeah. to hear your message.
Yeah. So yeah, that was like the, like you said, the perfect storm where the PR campaign was necessary, mm-hmm. and it was easy for everybody to buy into and wrap their head around and understand where we were going to go. And I think it's easy to fall into the trap, and I think we do it a little bit now where it's like, well,
yeah,
maybe what we don't have this, you know, the sky is falling message. We don't have something that we're trying to promote and, right. and overall, but the reality is that over time, I can see our organization just having a better presence in the media, which gets to our membership, which gets to the dining public. And, you know, we don't need to have a crisis all the time.
Right.
We are looking for awareness that we can build on. So, you know, I'm glad that we've been able to take this and continue to just, yep. you know, we've had ups and downs or whatever. Sometimes we don't have the best message and, you know, that something's going on that's maybe not exciting to us in the office, but because we live it every day,
yeah.
but being out there consistently, even if it's in dribs and drabs, yeah. I think, well, is helpful.
And finding the positive. I mean, out of COVID, you guys put together the Maryland Restaurant Week, which never existed before. And it's such a positive thing for the industry that it'll continue on for as long as yeah. probably RAM exists. So it's like that. There's some definite positives that came out of that,
yeah.
and yep. opportunities for continued PR.
Absolutely.
For sure.
I think, you know, one thing I wanted to touch on, too, is, you know, you're called the Restaurant Association of Maryland, and clearly you have restaurants, full-service restaurants, et cetera. But there's more to your membership. There's bars and brewers. And can you tell us a little bit about the breadth of your membership?
Sure. And anyone that has to do with food, I mean, anybody that offers food service. So we have grocery stores who are part of our association. Caterers who are part of the association, food trucks, as you mentioned, brewers, you know, just private chefs belong because they're interested in the information. So anyone who's serving food to the public in some way, shape, or form, they have a place here at the association because the legislative work that we do affects them. The programs that we have, whether it be payroll, credit card processing, we have our own workers' compensation insurance program. You know, that's all helpful. The education programs that we have, the Knowledge Center and our government affairs helpline, these are all things that anybody in the food service industry can take advantage of. So it might just be a convenience store that is serving up, you know, the very simple
hot dogs.
Yes.
And subs.
There's a place. Yep. There's a place here, and you will find value in our association. So that is a challenge because, you know, we have everyone is a little bit different. The hotels that belong to our association, they have their needs are a little bit different than the fast casual. And we have restaurants that have tipped employees and some that don't. And so, but, you know, it, when it's all said and done, 999 issues out of 1,000, everybody's on the same page. Sure. So that's how we're able to grow and to really do better for our members, because we just have so much of an impact with so many different groups of people.
Yeah, would you say that's kind of the biggest benefit of joining, is that you do have that, the full community and the rallying cry when you need it?
That is helpful, but yeah. I think what is underestimated by people before they join the association is the number of people and their peers who are willing to talk to them, to help their business, to network and to do these things. When we're trying to ask, when we talk to someone about joining the association, they went, well, what do I get for my $550 a year? And, you know, we, you know, give the typical association answer.
Right.
And you know what? It's usually I take a piece of paper and I said, you know what? We're going to throw that in the trash because you don't care about that. Because I know how this works. You're going to go back and you're going to be like, I'll just Google it. You're wrong. You can get better stuff from us. Trust me. But the real value is your access to the other business owners our government affairs team that you just... it is the number one reason why people continue to belong to our association more than anything else. And yes, the programs are important. Yes, the education that we do is important, but consistently, number one in our member surveys, it's access to our government affairs and other business people, because those two things help you run your business better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Marshall, can you, a little crystal ball here, could you look ahead at what you think the industry is going to look like a few years from now, and what the best ways forward to grow the business and perhaps the challenges too?
Yeah, I can't answer that one. I mean, everybody likes to ask that question, and you know, I can make up an answer, right? But it, well, here's what I will tell you.
Yeah.
I because I have seen it more in the past 5 years now than ever before. The restaurant owner has to be business savvy. They have to be technology savvy, and they better know how to promote themselves, social media, and whatever platforms they have. Not everybody wants to or can afford to hire Maroon PR, right? We get that. But if you cannot manage your business, if you can't advocate for your business, you're really going to struggle. So we see more and more people who are more entrepreneurs and I would say business owners rather than just someone with a dream of opening a restaurant.
Right.
Still, the overwhelming majority of people, they have this dream. And they immigrate to this country and they, you know, it's a pretty low barrier to open your own restaurant. I mean, yes, it costs money, but most people don't come to America and say, I want to start a car dealership or I want to start a tech firm, right? That's beyond the scope. But a lot of families come here and they start a restaurant small and they make it work. There's plenty of opportunity for that. But there's just more business owners, I think, now than ever before. And then I would also say, more ethnic restaurants, specifically here in Maryland, without a doubt, the variety that we have here is something to really be celebrated, because it's just so great. I mean, and the different families have different spins on all kinds of different cuisines, and it's good to see that the public embraces that. I'm not sure young people 50 years ago would be up for, hey, let's go out and have African food tonight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today, they're all for it. They're all for it. Drink fancy beers and try fancy foods.
Yep.
And sometimes the fancy food just comes from a strip mall on the corner.
Yeah. Well, I was shocked. You know, I've just moved to Carroll County, which you think, to your point, 50 years ago, what's in Carroll County? Burger shops, all American food, right?
Pizza.
But like pizza. Yep. Yeah. And I was, you know, shocked at all of the what I can get out there, and I in my mind I'm like, oh, I'm gonna have to go to Howard County to get there's Indian, there's Ethiopian, there's like, it's crazy, and it's like that, you're totally right, it's amazing to see that
growth.
So those are the trends. I'm not sure if that's a crystal ball, but I'm sure those things are going to kind of continue.
Yeah, exactly.
So shifting gears a little bit, we're here, you know, talk about beer, mm-hmm. right? Having a drink. And, you know, we like to say, you know, our business is a relationship business. And so getting out, being with people, having relationships with our clients, with media, we have to have relationships. And, you know, we like to pride ourselves in that, you know, our clients like us. We're the PR agency that they want to have a beer with, right? But going a little bit further, especially with your industry, like beer and having a meal and having a drink, you know, that can lead to a lot of great relationships. And do you kind of have any perspective on getting out and how relationships over meals yeah. have formed?
Yeah, I think I started to really become concerned when all of a sudden everybody was like, I'll send you a Zoom link. Zoom. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, you know, that's cool and all, and it's fun. And now even us old people can do it. And the young kid, like, okay, we all know how to get on Teams and Zoom and go to meeting and all that other yeah. stuff. And, you know, that's great to, in my opinion, just to kind of touch base and disseminate information and, you know, just kind of, I don't want to say it like this, but it is kind of like this, the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. And if you really want to grow your business and if you really want to take it to the next level, you can't do it yourself. I can't do everything here at the association. Mm-hmm. The staff that we have here, there's 12 of us. We can't do it all either. We need a network of relationships so that we can all work together. And you know, the reality is, if you meet me for lunch at, you know, such and such a place because we went to the Hotel and Lodging Association Awards and I meet you there, and then I see you at a different luncheon later on and we happen to be sitting at the next table, I guarantee you our relationship's going to be a lot stronger after that lunch meeting
right.
than it yeah. is if we were just on a Zoom call together. And that we can't lose that. Restaurants depend on that, by the way.
Right.
We love the idea of people coming out to sure. eat for lunch meetings. Mm-hmm. It really helps. And don't take me wrong. The restaurants like the carryout business too, but real business gets done face to face. This is my opinion. It's just, you know, but I've seen it work for our industry. I know it supports our industry for certain, but you know, if it's something important and we really want to get something done or figure out how to solve a problem, I think we meet face-to-face, have a lunch, go to dinner, have a couple drinks, go play golf together, mm-hmm. Support yeah. Golf courses, part of the association, by the way.
Yeah,
you know,
they
serve food, yeah. too. Yeah. Right. You know, so, you know, all these things have been around forever. Coming together over a meal,
yep.
right? Mm-hmm. That's been going on since the beginning. We can't lose that. Yeah. That's an important part, and, you know, that's the role we play in society. You know, thinking back, I was about to spit out a phrase that my kids can now repeat because they heard me say it so many times that during COVID on interviews when we were all stuck at home.
Yeah.
Restaurants are the backbone of every community,
yeah.
right? And the employees who work there, they're part of the community. The owners are invested and involved. So we don't want to lose that. And I think that, you know, I think over time people will realize that there's real value in getting together.
Yep.
Yeah, and we're seeing it more and more, you know, the days go by of, you know, less Zoom calls, more yep. in-person meetings.
Yes, definitely.
So yeah, that's definitely. Really cool to
yeah, it's been, you know, as we've said, it's definitely part of our business that we just, it's our lifeblood, to be honest. So, and I think a lot of places probably share the same experience, certainly in the restaurant world, no doubt about it.
I guess to wrap it up, if you had, you know, I think you just said it, but if you had a piece of advice, you know, for a young person coming up in business or, you know, as business evolves, you know, what would that piece of advice be for someone?
Well, I can't remember exactly what the phrase is, but it's something, I don't remember the percentage that it's something about showing up is, what it is, showing up is 90%. What is it? Something like that?
Yeah. Showing up is 90% of success or something like that.
Something like that. What? Yeah. There is really something to that. I mean, just showing up and getting out of your comfort zone. And, you know, as a young person, I did that a lot. The restaurant helped with that because I was constantly exposed to different people. whether it was different employees that came and went, whether it was the regular customer, whether it was a new customer, whether it was other businesses that were in the mall location that, you know, our store was. Getting out in front of people and just networking, it's the key to a lot of success. Yeah. And it sending emails, again, it doesn't do it all the time. And it's easy. And it's great to say, all right, I did my work today. I sent 400 emails. Yeah, but there's something to getting out of the office, going where people are, and you just don't know who you're going to meet, who you're going to develop a relationship with. And, you know, for us, I don't know where our next member restaurant is going to come from. Sure. I may meet them in the mall later on.
Right.
I may meet them when I go out to dinner tonight. The next sponsor of our gala might be a business that, you know, I met yesterday. And so it doesn't have to be work.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people just believe that if I'm going to leave the office, I'm not working and I'm not getting anything accomplished and I'm wasting my time. Completely untrue. I fall in that trap too.
Yeah, sure.
I do.
Well, you have your checklist, right? I'm like, I have to get all this stuff done.
Yes. Yeah. And sometimes you have to just force the issue and say, I'm just going to go to this event and I'm going to have no expectations other than to show up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just show up. Young and old, it doesn't matter. Just get out there and just network with other people. And you don't always have to have an agenda because nobody wants to go to a networking event and get like, hey, you know what? I sell cars. Like, you know, why don't you come down? That's not what it's about. Right. It's just, you know, just developing relationships at a very small level. And over time, the right ones will grow.
Yeah. It's funny because I even like now if I'll try to set up a meeting with someone, I'll say like, I have no agenda. I just want to get together. Like, I just want to hang out.
How do you think these guys got me in here today? Like, let's drink some beer.
That's right.
And,
that's right.
You know, it's like, I got this event in the afternoon, but yeah, I'll make sure I'm in the office by it. Yeah, so. Yeah.
That's right. That's
awesome.
Right.
Well, thank you. This is great. We really appreciate our relationship and we think you guys are doing great for the state and it's awesome to see restaurants making a comeback and.
Yeah, they slowly but surely, they try to do a little better each week as things aren't perfect. There's still a lot of issues that keep restaurants from, you know, being as successful as they want to be. But over time, like you said, things do, they continue to get a little bit better. And, when in doubt, just go support a local restaurant.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, too, just one more thing to add. You know, going to the gala the last 2 years, it's really a really cool. And for anyone out there that just wants to have a fun night out, like it's a great night.
Yeah,
and it was just, it's really cool to see the excitement from the industry. Because for them, like, you see them behind the counter, you see them like working their ass off every day, right?
Exactly.
And then to the point where, a couple of the award winners were from Harford County and like the whole room like rallied around Harford County. Like that was really cool. Yeah. Like that, it's just, I don't know, it was just a very, just to know what they've gone through over so many years.
Yeah, and, our gala is really about cool. that.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of those things that, there are so many people in a restaurant that make it happen for the customer.
Yeah.
More than any other industry, we are extremely labor intensive. Mm-hmm. You have the hostess who checks you in and seats you. Then you're going to have the server. Maybe it's a busboy that gets to you first and brings water, bread to the table. Then you have a server. And you probably have three or four cooks making the meal for your table. Don't forget about the three or four prep cooks that were there earlier in the day. The manager that makes for every time you go into a restaurant, there are probably 8 to 10 people that are involved in making your experience great.
Right.
So we can't do it alone. All those people need to be celebrated, and you're right. When we open up that envelope and somebody comes up on stage, some run up there like it's the Price is Right. Others walk
cool.
slow like because they are dazed like a deer in the headlights, and they can't believe this is happening. And it raw emotion comes out sometimes.
Yeah.
You have people that, you know, that have been a server for 30 years, like just almost ready to break down in tears because she's never been recognized like this before.
Yeah.
She loves her customers and she loves the regulars and she's done this for a long time and she loves what she does, but it really hits these employees who win about, you know what, I'm a big deal.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And that's what makes it great.
It's
and great so that the gala we will certainly do forever.
Forever, yeah.
Because
yeah,
the awesome. Employees in our industry certainly deserve
it. Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Well,
thanks
cheers.
Again for joining us.
Cheers.
Thank you for joining us.
Yep.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time for Spin is a Four-Letter Word.
Thanks for listening to Spin is a Four-Letter Word. If you like what you hear today, please subscribe. Send us your feedback, too. We want this to be interesting for everybody. And give us a follow at Maroon PR on Twitter and LinkedIn.